Thank you, Pastor Jeremy and worship team. That could be said of every one of our lives, isn't it? The anchor holds, even though the ship is battered, even though the sails are torn, the anchor holds. Amen? That's great. I was thinking about that as you were singing, Pastor Jeremy. I was thinking about how mothers walk through so much in their life. And I was thinking of my own mother, and, you know, she walks through so much. And I was thinking of my wife. You can't walk without the anchor. You know, you need the anchor there just to guide and direct the ship. And that's the Lord who does that for us. Mothers, this is your day. You deserve to be pampered, and you should be pampered, because you are so special. I think back over my lifetime, which is not very long. I'm just checking to make sure they didn't put something up there. Well, be real estate, it's a very short time. I mean, I was born on Mother's Day. I was. And somehow, I just realized at that point, one day, that the greatest gift my mom ever could have gotten on a Mother's Day. And I always reminded my mother that I was the gift that kept on giving. I mean, really. The father of five children won a toy at a raffle. He called his kids together to ask which one should have this present. He said, "Who is the most obedient?" He asked, "Who never talks back to mother? Who does everything she says? It is that one that receives this toy." So the five small voices answer back in unison, "Okay, Dad, you can keep the toy." Mothers are such special people. They walk us through so much in life. They give comfort when we hurt. They're a place of refuge from the stuff of the world. That's a mother. But this morning, I think we need to visit an area that mothers invest in each one of us in some way or another. Grade 2 class was asked this question, "What's the difference between moms and dads?" And they answered it this way. They said, "Moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine." See, there's truth to that. This morning we're going to talk about the kind of medicine that not only mothers give, but that we all should. It's really the secret ingredient to unlocking great health. And, you know, I was thinking about this, you know, because there was a whole conversation about the swine flu, which pretty well turned into the wine flu, swine, wine. And everybody's whining about the swine flu. And I was thinking about how, you know, we need good health, and we need great health. And I'm going to give to you today the secret from God's Word about unlocking good health. Let's jump into Proverbs 17, verse 22, a very verse which speaks to all of us this morning. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A sad heart. Did somebody say no? I'm sorry. A difficult heart. Whoop. A vengeful heart. Whoop. I got the wrong Bible. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Let's say it again. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. The key to unlock good health, that's where we're going to go this morning, where we're going to focus, is a cheerful heart. A cheerful heart is good for the soul. Cheerful heart. I learned, you know, this morning, I learned something. I learned I can actually do this. And wear a wig all at the same time. No, I love laughter. I love people. My daughter over there is just embarrassed right now. Because she said, "Dad, you do that at home much better." No. But I learned that people love to laugh. And I could never figure this one out. I couldn't understand. People would say, "Oh, I haven't had a good laugh in a long time." Have you ever heard anybody say that? I have not had a good laugh in a long time. I hear that. I can remember when I first was in ministry, I was in my 20s, and I can remember, I was kind of giving away my age a little bit. I could remember this. This fellow came into my office, and he was a big business tycoon, and in our area, he knew what he was doing. He was a salesman and a very successful one, and he was in his 40s. I think they just realized they can't see my notes because of my age, so they turned the lights off. Okay. I was talking to you people. Do you remember what I was talking to you about? This business tycoon, he came in my office, good salesman, and he said to me, he's in his 40s, and he said, you know what, my life is miserable. He said, I just came in, I need something funny. Just tell me something funny. And I said, well, you're looking at it. And he was laughing so hard, tears were flowing down his cheeks. And I realized he was really crying laughter, you know, really is what it was. He was so in turmoil in his life. He said, I'm in such pain. He said, my marriage is rough. He said, my kids, when I'm home, they don't want me home. He said, I really need help. I need something in my life that's missing. You know what he needed? He needed a cheerful heart in his soul. That's what he needed. And that moment taught me something. You know, laughter is good, but it's deep. It's the deep recesses of our soul that we need joy. And there's only one source that can give us what we need to carry us through that. And that is the Lord himself. Cheerful heart. How can you possibly be joyful when you're feeling exhausted? I mean, where does your strength of joy come from when you feel like you've just had it? No more! Some take Tylenol. Others invest in Advil. Others have caffeine pills. But I've found the greatest source to give us joy. And you know what I'm talking about. It's God himself. Just sitting with him. Just sitting. Looking in the mirror sometimes, you know? Those moments where I think I can't make it. Those times where I wonder, where am I at? What's going to happen to me? I've had those moments where I've wondered, what happened to God? Where is he? And then he knocks me aside the head. And he says, I'm right here. Just tell me about it. Just talk to me. And invariably, he puts somebody across my path at some point or something during my day to cause me to realize there is joy somewhere in there. But he just waits. God wants nothing more than for you to have peace and joy, but only he can give that to you. The world can't give you the kind of joy that God can. I mean, it can give it to you momentarily. I mean, we search for this among worldly things. I mean, the world can't give what God can give. The world will attempt to give you peace. I mean, that's why they came up with the computer. That's why they came up with the cell phone. That's why they came up with the pager. Created peace for your life. Now you can never get away from anyone. The only peace that we get in a day is that moment. We're in solitude. We come before God. And we listen. I was going to say the bathroom. But we listen. And sometimes that is the bathroom. And that's how we engage in good health. It's through those moments of listening. Quietly discovering before God. Not just talking all the time, just sitting, listening to his whisper in your life. I've lost my voice. No, I haven't. The Message Bible says this: a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. Anyone here ever been in the rut of doom and gloom? There's four of us. Four of us. I'm president. Doom and gloom. Yeah, we everything is right. Have you ever had a day where you just think everything is wrong? You know, like, for instance, I do this very well. I was doing this yesterday. I was saying, you know, It's supposed to be really nice tomorrow. It's 17 degrees, and Monday's supposed to be 23. But it's supposed to snow Wednesday. Yeah, I gave you the weather reports, just so you know. Gloom and doom. You know? Hey, do you want a barbecue for supper? Well, I guess I could, but that involves taking the cover off the barbecue, and then, I got to scrape the rust off the screens. And I don't know, do you feel like rusty hamburgers today? I don't know if I feel like... You know, doom and gloom. Leaves you bone tired. Because all you did, bleh, you know? Cheerful disposition is good for your health. But we don't hear so well. I know, that's something that I'm working on. We don't hear so well. We sit and we want to talk all the time before God. We need to listen to Him. Whisper. He will whisper to you if you listen. It's like the man who asked his wife, what's she like for Mother's Day? She said, well, I'd love to be six again. So Mother's Day, he got up early, made her a nice big bowl of Lucky Charms. Took her off to the theme park. What a day they had. Put her on every ride. The death slide, the wall of fear, the screaming monster, roller coaster, everything there was. 5 hours later, she staggered out of the theme park. Her head was reeling. Her stomach felt upside down. Journeyed to McDonald's, where her loving husband ordered her a McHappy meal with extra fries, refreshing chocolate shake. And they said, we're not done yet. Took her to the park. They flew a kite for a while. Bought her hot dog, popcorn, soda pop, her favorite candy, M&M's. Fabulous adventure. She was just rolling. Literally. She wobbled home with her husband. She collapsed into bed, exhausted. He leaned over his precious wife. With a big smile. He lovingly asked, "What? Well, dear, so what was it like being six again?" Her eyes slowly opened. Her expression suddenly changed. You idiot. I meant my dress size. See, the moral of the story is even when a man is listening, he's going to get it wrong. Sorry, guys, it's Mother's Day. Hearing is so important. It's so critical to good health, for our joy. There are so many passages that explain what God has given to us, what Christ gives to us. You take a journey through your Bible and look through it. I mean, throughout this week, just take time, look up the word joy if you have a concordance, or just look through the Bible and take moments to spend there and see where God has shaped you into being a joyful person, where your soul can have a cheerful disposition. Jesus knew about this. He said to his disciples in John 15:11, he said, I've told you all this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Others say full. Oh, I want full joy. Don't you? I want my joy to be complete. Don't you? Amen? Good. I don't stand up here just doing this for nothing. Christ knows we need joy. In fact, say, I need joy. I need a cheerful disposition. And through Christ, I can only receive it. You're almost there. You're starting to smile again. Most of you look like you'd sucked lemons before you walked through the door this morning. A cheerful heart is good for the soul. A cheerful heart is good for the body. You see, our body is such a wonderful creation. It tells so much about, in fact, it tells a lot about who we are. It lets you know your limits. For instance, I possibly cannot be a linebacker for the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, there's no... I really should have said BC Lions, shouldn't I? Sick Canucks. You see why? Do you understand? I can't be that. I mean... I maybe could for the Rough Riders, but anyway, we'll go down that road. I'm really on a roll today here. I also know that I can't put on a size 5 shoe. I mean, I've tried this in the bargain bins. You know, Joan tells me the five won't fit. And I go, yes, it will, Cinderella. And I try to put this thing on, and I'm telling you, it's not even enough room for my big toe. I know I can't. My body's not shaped. My body's not framed that way. But I also know that my body needs rest. That's why I let most of you sleep on Sundays. I need to be refreshed. I can only handle so much. The same is for you. Our body is made to rest. That's how we're made. That's what God said. Observe the Sabbath. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to make a Sabbath and everybody's going to have to observe that. It was like, I need to make something for man and woman. And that is a time to rest. A Sabbath. Made it for us. The second portion of this verse makes sense to me. A crushed spirit dries up the bones. Now, I don't want you to start thinking that that's flus and colds because the devil gives those or anything. Don't. Let me assure you, the concentration of this verse is on the spirit. A crushed spirit. A crushed spirit. I'm so hurt. I feel so rejected. A vengeful spirit. Disharmony. Dissension. That's what it's talking about. See, what is a crushed spirit? Let me explain by further questions. Because I love doing that. Do you know what bitterness can do to a person? Do you know what happens when you discourage a child? Do you understand what happens when we tear someone down, list all their faults, almost verbally attack them? It's like taking a large pounding hammer. I mean, I almost brought one this morning. I couldn't carry it. But a large pounding hammer and slamming it against their body. It's that crushing. Now, I know that we would never want to inflict anything like that on anyone. But many times we crush people spiritually and emotionally. I remember Dr. Pringle speaking about a situation in a class I was taking on counseling through abuse. And he said he remembers distinctly this family in his church. The mother was busy cooking on the stove, and a grease fire happened and evolved. And, of course, there was flames coming out. She didn't know what to do. I mean, you can't pour water on this stuff. So she thought, I'll just run it outside. And it was hot oil. So she was running it outside, and as she was running it outside, she flung open the door and threw it like this all over her children. Scarred them for life. And then Dr. Pringle said, but those kids grew up wonderful, wonderful children because they did not have a crushed spirit like those who were abused by words. Tells you something. I think that's better defined maybe as discouragement. Discouraging. It's one emotion that tears somebody down. Destroys a piece of the giver at the same time. That's why the Bible calls us encourage one another. Pray for one another. Build up each other. I mean, why would God command us to do such things as this if it were not good for us? Life would be more wonderful. Life would be enjoyed by one another more. Bitter heart, a hurting heart, creates such a sour look about us. Often we tend to sense that joy depends so much on our circumstances. Joy doesn't mean that your circumstances are going to change. It doesn't mean that, well, things are going to get better now because they're going my way. It means that you'll have a cheerful disposition no matter what you're walking through. And the scars that are on the outside mean nothing because of what's inside of you. People who live above their circumstances, not in them, usually possess a well-developed sense of humor because in the final analysis, that's what gets them through life. I was in Vancouver this week because we're meeting with Dr. Van Gelder, who's a missional consultant. He's a great man of God. And I was getting on the plane in Vancouver, and the plane got stalled. That sounds bad. It made it sound like we were up in the air and it stalled. That didn't happen. Got on the plane in Vancouver, and I'm sitting, you know, and I'm the kind of guy who, I don't know if you do this, but I wait till the line goes down, you know, like everybody lines up. And, I figure I'm sitting out here where there's lots of space, or I could go on the plane and sit, you know. So I just sit where there's lots of space. I'll read, you know, whatever till it's time to go on. So I go on the plane, I get on the plane, just within almost time to fly, and I sit down in my seat, and, you know, I'm in the middle seat. I mean, it always happens. You know, I say, Lord, you know, I want a good seat. It's the middle. So that way I can talk to two people. So anyway, I get in, and I'm in the middle, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just waiting, and waiting. Look at my watch, I'm waiting, and waiting. 10 minutes goes by. I thought, man, I thought I got on just in time. And then all of a sudden the flight attendant says, I'm sorry, but all of you, somebody didn't make it here for the plane, but their bags are here, so you'll have to wait while we find the bags in the baggage department. Please bear with us. It shouldn't take more than 15 minutes. Okay. I'm okay. I'm remaining calm, you know. So I said to the person next to me, I said to her, young lady, I said, you know, I said, if my bag happens to be out in the tarmac, I'll be jumping over you to get it. So just so you're aware, you know. So she laughs. Ah, ha, thanks. Yeah. It's funny. So we're sitting, and then they go, good news. 10 minutes goes by. Good news, we're early. We got the bags. They're right at the front. So I said, people around, praise God. You know, what else am I going to say? I'm a pastor, and it just comes out. So praise God. She goes, yeah. Anyway, and so anyway, you know, we're done. And okay, so 5 minutes, we're going to be flying off. Okay, so we're just still waiting. 10 minutes goes by. Flight attendant goes, attention. The couple who were supposed to be on the plane showed up. So it'll take about another 10 minutes for them to get on the plane, and we have to put their bags back in the baggage department. So please bear with us for the next 10 minutes or so. Okay, by this time, I'm trying to remain calm. I said to the person next to me, I'm glad because my bag was in the tarmac. I was ready to run out. She laughed. Ha ha, thanks for making a, you know. They put the couple in the front, very front, right in the emergency. Actually, maybe it was some of, I hope it wasn't, you weren't there. I hope you weren't the couple. But anyway, they put them at the very front of the plane, and as they're putting the very front of the plane, I said, I wonder if they're going to put the couple in. And the young lady said, they already have. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah. I said, well, boy, didn't you see them bring them? I said, no, I didn't even see what they looked like. She said, oh, well, she said, they were very old. I said, oh, really? She said, yeah, they must be in at least their 40s. Now, I was beginning to think I was insulted until I realized for one moment, you know, I was going to say to her, I'm in my 40s, until I realized she must not think I'm even close to 40. So I started doing this. No, I didn't. But that's how we have to look at life, isn't it? Ecclesiastes says there's a time to laugh. I think really, seriously, truly, we've forgotten that. I think we forgot about it. I don't know how many of you are involved in the hockey playoffs this year, but I know a few years ago, my mom and dad, they were watching Calgary, was playing the Mighty Ducks, and my dad was watching the game. My dad was quite intense, and he yelled out. He says, Calgary is getting overrun with the Mighty Ducks. And my mother, just not at all a hockey fan, she sat leafing through the paper, and she added in response, she said, well, why don't they just shoot them then? I mean, she thought Calgary is overrun with ducks, you know? It's so sad when we... It's true. It's... It's so sad when we no longer can laugh our way through life. It's our attitude. Our attitude sets the intensity of a crushed spirit, but it also provides the medicating presence of a cheerful heart. It's all about our attitude. Crushed spirit dries up the bones, but are we ready to listen? Are you ready to live like you've never lived before? You mothers, I'm sure you have moments many times in your life, stories where you could tell of your children that brought you laughter at the moment you thought grief. Maybe you're like this Family Circus cartoon. Some of you maybe have seen this. You used to work before you were married, didn't you, Mummy? You know. Life can be like that, though. So overwhelming. It can get the better of us. We miss the greatest key to unlocking good health, and that's our heart. The Amplified Bible says, a happy heart is good medicine, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Why do we choose to live without this healing? Why do we choose to let hurt, bitterness, vengefulness, unforgiveness become our focus? Got great news for you today. Everyone in this room can overcome anything through Christ. Anything. Any pain, any hurt, any financial problem, any pressure, you can overcome it. Because Christ has called us overcomers. In fact, say it with me today, I can overcome. Say it again, I can overcome. I can live a good life. I can enjoy good health. All with Christ. You got it. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you need to talk to God today that you've been holding on to something that is crushing your bones. Maybe that crushed spirit is so present with you today. Maybe you need to cry out to him and say, I just need that cheerful disposition again, God. I used to have it once. I need it now more than ever. Maybe you need to say to him, I don't know, maybe you need to say, I've done some bad stuff in my life, God, and I give you my life today. It's the best gift you can ever receive. It's by surrendering all of your stuff to God, because he'll look after you. And then he assures you of heaven when you do that. If you're coming to God in either of those ways this morning, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just slip your hand up. Just lift it up. If you're saying, God, give me that, what I need. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. Father God, our thoughts and our actions are yours. As we carry out those daily tasks, whether they be big or whether they be small, guard our hearts. God, guard our hearts so that we can handle struggles with love and compassion and joy right in our heart, God. Teach us through your loving words, Lord, how we can become even more like you. For those who are moms here today, God, may they feel special and honored. May they know that they can come to you for that rest that they require. Equip them to be a godly mother. And for those parents here today, God, help them raise children who will glorify you. And God, for each of us, may we not be those who crush spirits, but may we be those who encourage a cheerful disposition, so that in all of our living, you would be glorified through our words and through our deeds. To you be the glory and the honor in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.